Ever wondered how our brain structure, how it can subtly influence something as complex as social understanding? Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we extract the key insights from your sources. Today, we're diving into a really fascinating study. It's from the journal Neuropsychology, and it focuses on a condition called agenesis of the corpus callosum, AGCC for short.
That's right. And our mission today is really to unpack how people with AGCC, even those with normal intelligence, how they process social situations, and specifically, how they imagine the consequences of decisions, the emotional side, the cognitive side. This research gives us a unique look, really, into the brain's architecture.
Okay, so let's lay the groundwork then. What exactly is agenesis of the corpus callosum, AGCC, and why is it so relevant for understanding, you know, social behavior?
Well, AGCC is a condition you're born with. The corpus callosum, you know, that big bundle of nerves connecting the two halves of the brain.
The main bridge, yeah.
Exactly. It's either completely missing or only partly developed. Now, what's really crucial here, and kind of counterintuitive sometimes, is that the study focuses on people with normal intelligence or even high intelligence. Yet their families often report, you know, anecdotally, these mild to moderate difficulties in social and emotional areas, particularly a struggle predicting consequences, what might happen next because of an action.
Right. That paradox is interesting. Normal IQ, but social challenges. Mm-hmm. So how did the researchers actually investigate that specific difficulty, anticipating consequences?
They used a specific tool. It's called the Awareness of Consequences Scale, or AOCS.
Oh, AOCS, okay.
Yeah. Participants were given 6 social dilemmas, stories, basically. And these stories got progressively more complex.
More characters, more ambiguity, that sort of thing.
Exactly. And they had to describe what the characters in the story might be thinking or feeling as things happened.
So getting into their heads.
Right. And to analyze these verbal responses, which can be quite rich and subjective,
yeah,
they used 2 sophisticated linguistic analysis tools to make it objective.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting. These linguistic tools were key.
Absolutely key. The first was latent semantic analysis, LSA. You can sort of think of LSA as mapping the underlying meaning and relationships between words based on how they're used together in large amounts of text.
So it looks at the meaning patterns, not just the words themselves.
Precisely. It let them gauge the sort of semantic typicality of the responses. Do these answers sound like how most people would conceptually frame this situation?
Okay, and the second tool?
The second was LIWC, Linguistic Inquiry and Word Count. This one is more straightforward in a way. It counts words that fall into specific psychological categories, like words related to emotion or cognitive processes or social interactions.
Got it. So LSA for the overall meaning structure, LIWC for specific types of words.
You got it. Tools to quantify the seemingly intangible.
So applying these tools, what did they actually find? What were the insights about how individuals with AGCC process these social scenarios?
The findings were, well, pretty clear. First, the AGCC group scored significantly lower on the AOCS overall.
Lower scores.
Yes. And particularly as the scenarios got more complex, more socially nuanced.
That makes sense. And the LSA, the semantic typicality.
That showed their responses had, and this is the study's term, non-typical semantic content compared to the control group.
Non-typical semantic content, what does that really mean in terms of understanding?
It suggests that the way they were connecting ideas, the word choices they made to describe the situations, didn't really align with the common patterns you see in neurotypical individuals. Like their mental map of the social situation was different.
Interesting. A different cognitive framework.
Potentially, yes. But LAWC, the word count tool, gave an even deeper insight. It was quite revelatory, actually.
Oh, how so?
The AGCC participants used significantly fewer words reflecting emotional processes.
Fewer emotion words, like happy, sad.
Specifically, fewer negative emotion words, words like sad, afraid, anxious. And also, importantly, fewer words related to insight within the cognitive processes category.
Insight words.
Right.
Like understand or realize.
Exactly. Words that suggest grasping the mental state of another person or the deeper implications of a situation. So it wasn't just what they said, but the language itself reflected a difference in processing the emotional and sort of insight-related aspects.
Wow. So, okay, it's really more than just not knowing a social rule, isn't it? It seems to be about difficulty truly imagining or simulating the inner world, the feelings, the thoughts of other people involved.
That's exactly what it points towards, a potential difficulty in vividly imagining these emotional and cognitive consequences, especially when things get socially messy or complex.
And this connects to other research on AGCC.
It does, yeah. It aligns well with previous findings about alexithymia, sometimes seen in AGCC, that difficulty identifying and describing one's own emotions, and maybe understanding others too, and also perhaps a tendency towards more concrete, literal thinking.
It really highlights how subtle things, like word choice, can reveal quite profound differences in how we process the social world around us.
Absolutely. It's fascinating stuff.
It really makes you think, you know? Imagine trying to navigate a complex social situation, like a work meeting gone wrong or a delicate family discussion, if you couldn't quite tune into those unspoken emotional undercurrents or predict how your words might land emotionally for others.
Right. It would be a very different experience.
So pulling this all together, what are the sort of big picture implications here? What does this tell us about social interaction more broadly?
Well, I think this deep dive really shows powerfully that even when intelligence is typical, differences in core brain structure, like lacking that corpus callosum, can have these profound effects on really complex social reasoning,
yeah.
On empathy, perhaps.
Yeah.
And it emphasizes that it's likely not about a lack of wanting to understand or connect. It seems to be more about a fundamental difference in processing that subtle, implied social and emotional information, predicting those ripples.
What really stands out to you personally about this study? What's the thing that makes you pause?
For me, it's that link between the physical brain structure and these incredibly subtle, complex human abilities, like predicting someone else's feelings. It underscores how much intricate wiring supports our social intuition.
Yeah, it really does. And maybe it makes you, the listener, wonder too, how much of our own seemingly effortless social navigation relies on those unseen connections, that constant unconscious prediction of the emotional consequences of what we do and say. It's just a really powerful reminder, I think, of how complex the human mind is. And maybe understanding these kinds of variations can help foster a bit more empathy, more compassion for the very different ways people experience and navigate our shared social world.